We've had some good music this morning, amen? Thank you to everybody who sang today, both young and used to be young. It's good to hear songs lifted up to heaven, and I know that must make God's day as well to hear those praises sung. In keeping with our theme today of children, we're going to be looking at a story in Scripture that involves a young person. But first, let me tell you about a five-year-old girl named Jocelyn. Jocelyn, by the way, can anybody remember when you were five? Anybody remember when you were five? Those were the good days, weren't they? Snack time, nap time, even though you didn't want it. Remember fighting over, I don't want a nap, Mom, I don't want a nap. Now you're like, oh, I wish I had a nap. Wish I had a nap. 5 years old is a good time. Oh, everything's new. You have crafts. Five is good. Jocelyn was five, and she was playing in her front yard. A car was parked over not too far, and there was somebody in that car watching Jocelyn as she played in her front yard. Pretty soon, that car pulled up in front, and the gentleman that was in the car offered her some ice cream if she would get in the car. She thought, well, I like ice cream. Sure, I'll get in the car. So she got in the car, and the man drove away. A few minutes later, the mom came out, and she was wondering where little Jocelyn was. She was calling, Jocelyn, Jocelyn. And then it didn't take long to realize that Jocelyn had been kidnapped. And so she started frantically getting the neighbors together. She called the police, and the neighbors soon came out in force. And they started looking for little Jocelyn. It was only a few minutes that went by before she was gone and when everybody started looking. Well, among the group that was looking was a young 15-year-old boy named Tamar. And he and his buddy decided to hop on their bikes and look around. So they take off and they're riding, pedaling their bikes, and they see a car that's parked not too far away. And they think they see a little girl sitting in the passenger side with the driver in the driver's side. And they think, this is awkward, this should be her. They'd seen her playing around the neighborhood. And as they went to get closer, it looked for sure like the back of her head. But the driver was also watching. And he saw these two boys coming up, and so he put the car in drive and started to drive away. Now you've got these two 15-year-old boys. What do? They're on bikes. He's in a car. They see the girl. They know they need to help and that this is a big deal. This could mean this little girl's life. So these two boys start pedaling for everything they're worth, and they are chasing a car. The car takes off, goes around a corner, stops. The boys come around the corner. There he is, and he takes off again. They chase the car for 15 minutes. Pedaling as fast as they can. Now, 15 minutes on a bike, you can cover some distance on 15 minutes on a bike. And these boys are worn out, but they know they cannot give up chasing this car. After 15 minutes, they see the car pull over to the side of the road. They see the driver reach over to the passenger side, and they see the passenger side door open. And out hops little 5-year-old Jocelyn. The car door slams, and the car peels off and takes off. The boys come riding up to little Jocelyn. She comes sprinting over to them, knowing they're the good guys. And she says, I need to see my mommy really bad right now. Can I go see my mommy? And I said, absolutely. So these two boys, Tamar and his buddy, bring little Jocelyn back to her mom and are the heroes of the day. They're on the news, several different news stations, national news stations, because these boys literally saved this little girl's life and brought her back to her mom where she belonged. God uses young people all the time to do all kinds of different things. We're going to look at a story of how God used a young person in John chapter 6. Turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 6. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Fourth of the Gospels, and we're going to be looking at chapter 6 today. And we're going to see a young person that we don't even know his name, but he plays a pretty big role in the text that we're about to look at. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. Now, I have a picture here of what the sea, I'm a visual person, I like to see what things look like. This is a modern-day picture of the Sea of Galilee, or what was known a little bit later on as the Sea of Tiberias. It's one of the corners. It's a pretty big lake. It's not really a sea, but it's a good-sized body of water, and this is where Jesus is. He's near the town of Bethsaida. Anybody remember the term Bethsaida, the town Bethsaida in the Bible? This is where he is near. So, and someday, I hope to visit some of these places. It would be just fascinating to sit on the shores of this little lake, wouldn't it? After reading about all the things that have happened right here in the Bible. But Jesus goes over to this exact lake that we see in this picture right here, the Sea of Galilee or the Sea of Tiberias. And then it says, verse 2, a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. There are stories and stories and stories that we don't get to see here in Scripture that Jesus did. All of these things that it's talking about here, that all the different people that Jesus healed, I think we're only getting just a little sliver of the stories about what happened during those times of Jesus' ministry. So there's a great crowd following Jesus. Now, we see a little bit of what that crowd is going to look like, and the Bible tells us that the crowd is somewhere around 5,000. Now, this is a picture I was looking around because it says 5,000 men. Now, no doubt a lot of these men had families. Out of 10,000 people looks like. This crowd was counted, and it was right around 10,000 people. This is back in the presidential race and things. But in that little square right there is 10,000 people. So you can kind of get an idea for how many people were there following Jesus out here by the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover feast, a feast of the Jews, was near. In verse 5, Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing this great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread that these may eat?" Now, it's interesting that he picks Philip, and he asks Philip. Why would Jesus ask Philip? Well, first of all, we know Jesus is up to something here. He's always got reasons why he asks questions. But why does he ask Philip? Well, we see in Scripture that Philip is from this area. He's from Bethsaida. So this is where he grew up. He knows the people in this area. And Jesus says, "Hey, Philip, if we were to get food for all of these people, where would we get some of this food?" Now imagine that you're Philip. He said this, verse 6, to test him, to test Philip, for he himself knew what he was about to do. And Philip answered him and said, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. Now, 200 denarii. How much is 200 denarii? Let's say we had 10,000 people, just like we see here in the picture, 200 denarii. If we translated that to today, it would be somewhere around $14,500. Do you think you could feed that group of people with $14,500? Not likely. And even though that's a lot of money, that's a whole lot of people. 10,000 people. Can you imagine having Sabbath lunch at your house and having 10,000 people over? What would you cook? Where would you even start? Well, we got to buy more pots for spaghetti. We don't have enough pots. There's nowhere to even really start if you're looking at feeding 10,000 people. He says, not even that much money would give them a little bit of food. Then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" Now, Andrew is also from Bethsaida. These guys are locals. In fact, more than likely, they know a lot of the people that are there in that crowd. And as we look at this, Andrew is saying he spots a boy that's there, and some commentaries suggest that maybe he even knew this boy in order to volunteer his lunch for him. Maybe he knew the kid's dad and mom. Maybe he'd grown up with them. But there seems to be a little bit of a familiarity between Andrew and this boy, because Andrew feels totally comfortable saying, "Hey, we could take this kid's food. He's got food right here." But really, Jesus, that's nothing. I mean, he's got 5 loaves and 2 fish. And these are barley loaves, is what the Bible says, barley loaves. Now, if you read through some biblical history, you'll read a lot of people didn't really care for barley. In fact, a lot of the times they talk about barley being animals' food. Some might think of it as the Taco Bell of the old days. I know everyone's like, whoa, 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 don't insult Taco Bell. Don't insult Taco Bell. But it's 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. And you've got this many people here to feed. What is that going to do? There is a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. But what are they among so many? Jesus doesn't really answer the question. He says, hey, let's have everybody sit down. Have everybody sit down and get ready. And the disciples must be thinking, get ready for what? We can't feed them dinner. We're setting ourselves up for failure. Now, there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in a number of 5,000. Just the men they're counting here. So everybody, and I don't know how they get the word out, because if you look at the picture that's up on the screen, more than likely there's a sound system that he's talking through. And that's how he can tell everybody what he wants to tell them. But if you have no sound system and you've got 10,000 people, how do you spread the word? So the disciples must have gone, all right, hey, everybody sit down, everybody sit down. Why are we sitting down? I'm not sure yet. But if you could have a seat, we'll find out in just a minute. Everybody just have a seat. So they must have been convincing because everybody sits down. And it says, verse 11, Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to the sitting down, and likewise the fish as much as they wanted. Now, a lot happens in that one sentence. And this little boy is picked out of a crowd of 10,000 people. How did he get there, I wonder? Where's his mom and dad? His mom packed him a little bit of a lunch. And he said, Mom, I really want to go see Jesus. Okay, son, here's your lunch. You take the lunch. It's going to be a long day. You'll have some food. So he takes it, and along with this whole crowd, he gets spotted by Andrew. And Andrew volunteers his lunch. Now, we don't know how old this boy was. We don't even know his name. Let's assume maybe he's 12, maybe 13. I don't know. If I was a parent, I don't know if I'd let anybody younger than that go out with a whole crowd of people without me there. Maybe he's a 12, 13-year-old boy. Now, for you gentlemen, roll back the reel and remember when you were about 12 or 13 years old. You liked to eat, didn't you? And you were a little territorial about your food, weren't you? If you had any siblings, hey, 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 back off my food. This is my food. You like to eat. And here this boy is pointed out, he's the only one with food. And it's got to be a little awkward. And I wonder how he was asked. I wonder if Jesus went up, because he sent the disciples to go out and have everybody sit down. And I wonder if Jesus maybe came up to that boy and said, hey, son, mind if I do something with your food? Sure. Here you go, Jesus. And maybe Jesus winked at him like, hey, it's going to be all right. You're going to get fed. And he takes the 5 loaves and the 2 little fish. And he prays. He blesses it. And he starts passing it out. I would have loved to have seen how that all worked. The curiosity inside of me says, I wish I could have seen how it happened. Did it just like, were their baskets already just full? Or did people look down and, oh, all of a sudden it's full? How did it work? How did Jesus do this? I don't know. But they start passing out the food. And I wonder what the look was like on the boy's face as they started passing the food out. Because he must have thought, man, this food's not going to go very far. I mean, Jesus, have you seen this crowd? That'll feed maybe 2 of us if we split it. And so maybe he's watching and he sees the first couple disciples hand out 1 bread, 2 loaves of bread, 3, 4, 5. Oh, he's out now. There's 2 fish, and there's 6 loaves of bread, and 7 loaves of bread, and 8 loaves of bread, and 9 loaves of bread. And the boy, I wish I could have seen the boy's face. Huh? I know my mom only packed me 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. What is going on here with my lunch? What did Jesus do with it? And one of the disciples comes up and says, here, son, have some lunch. Take 6 loaves. Take 3 fish. And his face just must have been like, how in the world did this happen? And maybe looked up at Jesus, and Jesus maybe just smiled at him. Keep on passing them out. Everybody gets food. Not a person leaves hungry. Out of 5,000-10,000 people, they're fed from one little boy's lunch. It says as much as they all wanted. What was the look like on the disciples' face? What was the look as I was reading through this week? I wonder what the look was like on the boy's mom's face when he came home and told her the story. Mom, you're not going to believe this. Remember the lunch you packed for me? Yeah, 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Yeah. I got singled out. I met Jesus. You met Jesus? Yeah, I met Jesus. He took my lunch. He took your lunch. Wait. He took my lunch and fed everybody with it. What do you mean fed everybody? Well, he took my lunch and then he prayed and looked to heaven. And then he just started passing food out, and it never ended. Your food fed 10,000 people. What you packed for me fed everybody. Can you imagine the look that she gets on her face when her boy tells her this story of how this all happened? So when they were filled, verse 12, he said to the disciples, "Gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost." Then they gathered them up, and 12 baskets with the garments of the 5 barley loaves were left over by those who had eaten them. And those men, they had seen the sign that Jesus did, and they said, "Truly, the prophet who has come, he is the prophet who has come unto this world." Jesus used the presence and the willingness of this young boy to let everybody know who he was. It took the willingness of this boy to follow Jesus' instructions. Now, was it maybe a little hesitant of a decision from the boy? Oh, my lunch, but, oh, well, okay. Natural for a 12 or 13-year-old boy. But see, it was a little bit of a trust thing for the boy too, right? Give me your lunch, but just trust me. You'll be all right. I'll take care of you. Don't worry about it. Does God ever ask us to do some things that we're not sure make sense? Does God ever ask us to do some things that we're a little hesitant to do? I think yes. I think God does that all the time with us. Each one of us in our own individual lives. What is our response when God asks us to do something that makes us a little bit uncomfortable? Sometimes we say, "Okay, Lord, this looks safe enough." Sometimes we say, "Oh, I don't know, Lord. I'm not sure about this one. I can't see the end of it. I don't know if I'm going to be all right on this." But yet, just like God asked this boy for his lunch and essentially asked him to trust him, that he was going to have lunch, I think God sometimes asks us to do some things that take us a little bit out of our comfort zone. And the thing is, we have to have the faith of this little boy to say, "Okay, God, you can have my lunch." And trust that God is going to be with you on that journey to get lunch with the rest of the 10,000 people as well. God used this boy. God has used young people, middle-aged people, old people for many, many, many years. And just like we were reading a little bit earlier when we were dedicating the Rosicas family and baby Corbin, a lot of times we kind of ignore the younger people. Say, "Well, what do they have to offer?" And we may even ask ourselves the question, "Well, what do I have to offer? What talents and gifts do I have to offer God in his service?" Sometimes we're the hardest on ourselves, aren't we? "I really don't have any gifts or talents that God could really use. I'm just gonna roll along with the crowd." And yet, God uses us in individual ways, in ways that he's blessed us. I believe this boy that morning had a strong dose of faith. Maybe brought to him by his mother or his father. Amen. That allowed him to make that choice to trust Jesus with his lunch. Do we trust God when he asks us to do something? One of the things that is sort of a dream of mine for this church is to have a missionary program that goes from our church. This church is very passionate about spreading the gospel. And one thing that I've been thinking about a lot lately is how awesome would it be for our church if every year we had two people from our church go overseas and preach an evangelistic series. Come back and share with the rest of the church about how God blessed. And then the next year, have two more people that go out and be missionaries and serve and preach an evangelistic series somewhere around the world. And keep that cycle up so that we're not only doing outreach here, but all over the world. That's something that that's been kind of heavy on my heart. And if there's a challenge that you've been thinking about that's similar to that, talk to me after church. Because it's been something that's been on my heart as well. When God challenges us to do something, whether it's that or whether it's something else, let's practice more trust in our God. Amen. And instead of maybe hanging on to our lunch and never letting it go, maybe now's the time that we give our lunch, whatever lunch is for you, and trust Jesus with it, and give yourself to him 100%. I love the story of this boy. We don't know much about him. We don't know what the rest of his life was like. He had an awesome testimony to share for the rest of his life. I bet that every time he prayed over lunch for the rest of his life, he was reminded of the time that Jesus prayed for his lunch, and it made a huge impact on his life. It'll be fun someday to meet that boy in heaven. Get that story straight from him. So what was it like? What did Jesus say to you? When we give our lunch, we will have a story to share about what God has done with our lunch and in our lives. We're going to sing a song as we close today. So I invite our worship team to come on up. The song is entitled "Take Time to Be Holy." And in the words of this song, this week my challenge to you is to take some time to think about how you can take some of the things that God puts on your heart and to put them into action. Take some of that quiet time with God. And I know sometimes it's hard to get quiet time with God because our lives are so busy, whether it's work or kids or other things. But as we sing this song, this is sort of a challenge for all of us to take that time during the week to spend with God, to figure out exactly what he wants to do with each one of us and how he wants to mold us and use us and make us more in his image. Father in heaven, Lord, we thank you for the illustration in the Bible of the faith of a young boy in trusting you. Father, may we be more like that young boy this week. Help us to trust you with the little things and with the big things in our lives. Father, it's easy for us to doubt, and Lord, we need work in that area. And so, Father, in little ways in our lives this week, help us to grow our faith in you. Help us to see you in the things we see around us this week, your character shining through those around us. And thank you so much for the willingness of our kids today to shine their lights for you in song today as well. It's inspiring to see them and their love for you as well. And I know I've been blessed by them. Father, bless us the rest of this Sabbath day as we fellowship together over some food this afternoon. Thank you for that time and for our time with you this Sabbath. In Jesus' name, we all say, amen.